hello and welcome to the Wednesday podcast. I'm Tom and I've got Ross here with me. Hi, Ross.
Hello there. Hi.
So it's been, I think, 12 or just over 12 weeks since this lockdown started. And it's felt like a long time for me. I'm sure it has for many of us as we're listening. Do we really know when this is going to end, Ross, or where we're going, or anything like that? Can you help us with that?
Well, thank you, Tom, for the question of the decade on that. My frank answer is no. Although I have to say, very grateful to the FIEC who share weekly updates. They're in touch with the government. They're in touch with the Minister of Faith, so can both represent churches and also drill down and try and get what information they can. So they've been really helpful in just giving us some information, although frankly, they're trying to get info from the government too. They give us clear guidelines, give us good updates, but actually I don't think the government have churches or faith communities anywhere near the top of their agendas for addressing the issues that we would love to see fully addressed and sorted out. But we do get good information as far as we can, and that's been a great help and very reassuring.
So the most recent guidelines have allowed meetings of up to six people in a very limited social distanced way. We've heard in the news that churches will be allowed to open for personal prayer, I think at the beginning of the next month. What does this mean, Ross? Are we going to be able to start doing things together? Are we going to be able to start meeting in some way soon? Or am I being too optimistic there?
I think you're being a little optimistic. I could easily go very gung-ho with a risk like this and say, oh, let's give it a go anyway. But just when I pause and think about what the virus has already done to many people, we think we have to be really very cautious and really assess the risks of what we want to do. Being able to open the church in order that one individual can go in and pray in the sanctuary is very different from what our church family enjoy doing very much together. I think there's almost nothing that happens in the church as an individual. We do almost everything together, whether it be in a small group or a large group. And that fellowship, that being part of the body, is a massive encouragement and I think blessing to everybody, and one of the things we're missing most. And actually we don't know how long it's going to be before we can meet in even small groups in a building from more than two households, let alone a larger group, and let alone able to sing together without masks on and without being socially distanced. A church like that, no singing, masked and socially distanced, I mean, what, 30 to 4 of us in there in non-sing worship, that'll be different. And I think even that is somewhere a considerable way off at the moment, Tom.
Yeah, certainly the FIC in their weekly update have been gently cautious with this and suggested to the churches across the nation like us to be cautious and to be very careful and thought out with the way we approach the unlock, if we call it that, this gradual process of life heading towards some sense of normality. And clearly there are real concerns with things like eating and drinking together and singing together. Of course, when we sing, we kind of breathe out quite strongly, don't we?
Yeah, we will project viruses, if there are any around to project, quite widely too. I think up to 10 metres is the current research is indicating, which is, a very serious thought. And all the things we've got to think about to ensure that we protect each other from the risk is really serious. And frankly, we're going to be very hard work. And the larger the group, almost the more work we will have to do. So there's a lot to do, and we don't yet know when we can begin that, really.
This could, I think, sound really, really discouraging. The idea that this could be a long time, that normality may be a very long way away. And I'm aware that as I've thought through that and kind of gone through the last 12 weeks or so, there have been some real rocks in the road spiritually, as well as actually some really bright moments. How have you found that, Ross?
I think because I've primarily been busy and I can focus on what I think I need to focus on, which is we live in a pleasant place. We don't have a few small children around. And church business, church work for me has kept me fairly well occupied. I've been able to enjoy things like home groups. I've been able to enjoy the Sundays all over the internet. I've had some rich quiet times myself, surprisingly, even in Ezekiel for me, which I've always struggled with, to be honest. But even in dear Ezekiel, I've been blessed by that, and other quiet times and readings as well. Also, I've doing a one-to-one with Joel Thomas for, I think, over the last 3 years in the same book, I'm sometimes embarrassed to say. And that's been rich, feeding my own heart, feeding my own soul. There have been bumps and discouragements, but overall I've sensed the Lord has been with us and knows all about this. It came as no surprise to him, and just looking to Christ and trying to learn from him, I think over nearly all the time, actually, for me, has been an encouragement. It's almost as if I turn away and see what I'm losing almost aside from him, like being in touch with the family, is where, oh, how much longer is this going to go on before we can see the grandchildren again and what have you? But then I think just thinking that through, well, this isn't going to last forever. In the meantime, Lord, you are an enormous encouragement. You're at work in my heart. And I know that he has an enormous amount more to do in continuing to change that and reshape that and mold it according to what he wants to see. On that side, it's been an encouragement, a huge encouragement. And the Lord has been with us, Alain and I, and we've been very encouraged despite, without being too over-enthusiastic about lockdown, if you follow me. And the conversations with people have been encouraging, where we've been able to. I suppose the one area that I don't feel I've progressed very much is good or strengthened relationships with neighbours. But that's back to my own problem with my own personal witness and evangelism. Finding that field of operation for me there has been a real struggle and still remains so. And yeah, that's been frankly, an ongoing burden to me. Mm. I don't think I'm pleasing to the Lord in that zone, if you follow me on that.
I've kind of noticed in my own life and in some of the guys I speak to, maybe read with every week, that there have been, both in me and in those other guys, real moments of brightness. Some people just enjoying a little bit of extra time, and they've been able to spend that time investing in their relationship with the Lord, whether that be through reading and praying, or whether that be through just picking up the phone and talking to brothers and sisters in Christ and being encouraged in that way. But there have also been moments for me and for people I know of real struggle, maybe of new or old temptations or particular trials, particular sadnesses, anxieties and uncertainties about what's going to happen, about family members and their health. And
yes,
and as I've worked through that, I've come to realize, perhaps in a more real way than ever before, that both the blessings and the struggles of life are fruitful ground for the Lord's growth in our hearts. And perhaps for me, it's more often the very difficult moments where I know and can see the Lord changing me to be more like Jesus. Not that I'm very far on that journey, but those difficult times can be real moments of growth.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it, thinking of a very poor figure of speech, that even in the valley bottom where it's very dark, and you would think there's no light, there is Christ's light to help us grow even in that darkness. And it is a real encouragement if one can just accept that in what feels dark isn't an unproductive, unhelpful place. It may be a hard and a very sad place to be, but it's not a zone where Christ doesn't walk with us and help us. And his light, you know, taking this analogy of the gardens, can help our hearts to grow and our souls to even flourish in the dark places. which is wonderfully reassuring, although very painful. And I'm not recommending we look for dark places in which to dwell. You're right. You're absolutely right.
But the Lord is very great. And so whether we be on that pleasant uplands of serenity and life being stable and pleasant, or whether we be really in the dark and rocky places.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's great enough to hold that, to understand it, to work through it. And his devotion to his people is remarkable. Of course, his death and his resurrection are the kind of chief proofs of that. If he was prepared to go through Gethsemane to the cross and suffer and die there, and the Son of God to face death itself, then
well, he's
when
truly,
we're in those rocky ground, then...
Yeah, he is truly the great shepherd, isn't he? He is both the shepherd but of our souls, but the great shepherd, in fact, the omnipotent shepherd, which is hugely encouraging. Have you in the stage of unlocking, well, even before any release of restrictions, being able to encourage others and being encouraged by conversations, you know, one-to-ones or times where just fellowship in small groups has actually just done you good, or you've been able to do others good?
Yeah, I've been really grateful that the regulations have allowed people to go on a walk together if you stick 2 meters apart, or to go and sit in someone's garden for a while. And to me, that's made a huge difference. I mean, Zoom and phone calls and the technology we have are brilliant. They're really, really helpful, but it is not the same as physically walking kind of beside someone and seeing their face and seeing their smile, or seeing actually that they're not quite okay, and that you can come alongside and just pray with them, or share that they're not alone. Actually, you've not always been okay. And I think that's one of the brilliant things about Christ's body, the church, is that we are not lone rangers. We're not saved into kind of this individualistic lifestyle.
No,
God has given us a great huge family, all kinds of different people, different gifts, different ways in which we naturally encourage each other. And so that's been really special to me, just starting now to see a few people and pray with them, or just share about life and what where we've known the Lord's goodness, or where we've been through a trial, and kind of with hindsight looking back, we see, wow, I needed to repent in that area, and the Lord brought me to repentance, or I needed to trust the Lord with that, and he took me there.
It's interesting how just the being with people really seems to be a sort of almost a catalyst or a doorway to many more, much more of that sort of thing, really. I don't know what, I suppose it's just we're human and have been designed in an extraordinary special way. And if we're going to get theological, I suppose, we can say, you know, it's a model of the Trinity, or rather, you know, broken here, but it's still that deeply relational communication and fellowship that has enormous meaning and is used in many, many ways, and in ways that we don't really realize until we, I mean, I've never been, you know, in an isolation unit in a prison, but that must be far more challenging than what I ever have thought. And even in the isolation and lockdown can be very challenging. But so just being together a bit is a huge help again, isn't it? And encourage it in many ways.
And I think I would encourage that. Obviously, we need to be very careful about following the guidelines and about protecting each other from this virus. But do take the opportunities when they come. And I mean, I popped round Coombe Down a few days ago and just knocked on a few doors, and I didn't get answers from all of the doors, but it was lovely to see a few people and spend a little bit of time.
Were these random doors, or just, did you know who was behind them?
I must admit, they were people I knew.
I just checking.
Walk down the street and...
I need fellowship. Someone fellowship with me. Okay, clarified that. Yeah, it's good.
Ross, are there any ways as a church we can be physically helping out now that we're slightly more allowed to be doing things out and about? Ooh. Has there anything already been going on?
Well, one of the bigger encouragements, based on what you've been talking about, is the fact that originally, for those who hadn't got the internet, we were posting CDs of the services, Sunday services, to them. They were not getting there on the Saturday morning, partly because there was no Saturday morning delivery for a time. And then, I don't know quite how, but we struck on the idea, well, let's see if we can hand deliver them. So the vast majority we now deliver by hand. They leave church on Friday, and Linda and Alain and Claire take them to various people. And because you're delivering them personally, of course, you can knock the door and have a chat. And I think that's been particularly appreciated, and perhaps even more so by people who live at either in Bristol or even Midsummer Norton, who are actually so pleased to see a friendly face and just have 5 minutes conversation or longer. And so that's continuing. We've actually taken flowers to various people that way too. And I think, you know, we're going to continue that. And now including one or two others who have this internet as well, just because they, you know, are probably more shielding and shut in. We don't have to have a CD in our hand to do that. We can do that anyway. So I think, yes, just thinking a bit like you've done, walking around and deciding to knock on a door, perhaps a quick phone call first to see if they'd be in, and then saying, well, can I knock the door and can we have a 5 minute chat over the along the garden path is helpful. We've got a members meeting coming up before long, and we want to rerun the ballot for the leaders, and all those ballot papers will have to go out. And perhaps that's been an opportunity to hand deliver most of them, and just 5 minutes fellowship and a greeting as well might be a very simple way just to sort of progress this further. But everybody's free to do it if they feel so able to like I said, knock a door and speak. Yeah.
I guess with that, and if you want to be involved with those sort of things, or if you just want to talk to somebody, or if you want to get in touch with Paul or Clover or one of the elders, please get in touch. Yeah. Drop an email to the office email address or to or someone individually. Yeah. We do want to hear from you.
Yeah. Oh, I should also say that, of course, in the way that church does, Sarah and Jerem are being fed regularly with meals too from folk around, which is lovely as well. And that gives another opportunity to meet young Moses, distance of course safely, but these little things are where we can. Yes, it's great, it's good. So if anybody else would like to be involved in that, do let me know.
Well, we've talked about quite a lot there, perhaps some pretty significant things, with the idea that it might not be very soon that we're able to be back together again, and some big things with the spiritual ups and downs that we may have faced. Ross, do you want to pray about those things as we come to a close?
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come to you as our Father. And Lord, in all the unknowns, you've done everything, Lord, to make yourself known to us through Jesus, your dear Son. We thank you, Lord, for all that the Lord Jesus himself makes known to us. We thank you for the fellowship we have with you, the fact that you've drawn us into the intimacy of the Trinity, which, Lord, we know in part now, but one day shall know in full. And we have the most glorious and wonderful hope, which we can hold to each day. Lord, we pray for one another in the ups of each day and the downs and the difficulties of each day. Lord, may we all sense and know your presence, we pray. Feed us through your word, whether we're reading our Bibles, talking about it, hearing it spoken of on Sunday, on YouTube, or whatever. Lord, please help us to avail ourselves of all that you feed us with. And Lord, more than that, help us in the body at Whitcombe to help one another, to feed, to grow, to be comforted, to be encouraged, and perhaps at times, Lord, too, to be challenged. But thank you, Lord, you're preparing us all for glory, very slowly, bit by bit. But Lord, we pray that we might help in that and help each other in that and continue to encourage each other through these difficult days of lockdown until, Lord, that day where we can meet together more freely. But even in that, Lord, make us wise and patient, we pray, as we thank you for one another, for the prayers of one another, for the ways in which we do meet and we can meet and we will meet. Lord, bless us, we pray, as we give you thanks for each of those blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ross. And just a quick note that the next few weeks of life in the church are probably going to be quite significant. Please watch your emails and keep up with the information that comes out as we head into an important members meeting.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, good. Thank you, Tom. Thank you all who have listened. The Lord be with you. Bless you. Bye-bye now.